thanks for leading us. I really want to be Pentecostal. And I'm so glad that over the years I've had a wide swath of what expressions of what the church looks like. And thank you, worship band, for leading us in those songs, and particularly that song. And thanks, Kevin. Thanks so much. Kevin was here along with Don Younger this week, fixing these lights so that the school could play volleyball and whatnot. So I want to just say thank you, Kevin, for doing that on Monday night. Tuesday night? I don't know. It was one of those nights. And it was good. I guess old school, they used to always have a 36-foot ladder. Yeah. Think about that. They would put it up. So I hope it's okay. I rented a scissor lift because we didn't want to die. So that was a good thing. So, Kevin, thanks for doing that. And Don, if you're listening, thank you. So, Happy New Year. We celebrated New Year last week when we were celebrating the lives of people that were saying yes to baptism of Jesus. And that was tremendous. And we had a packed house, and we were reminded again how great Soup Sunday is. I don't think we did it since my installation in May, and so we're going to try to figure out how to do that more often, especially with all that yummy soup that was here. And so it's just wonderful to celebrate what God's doing in the lives of people, and also getting to know and hanging out with all of you. And I hope that you had a great Christmas break. And and we are so looking forward to what God has in store for our church. I am, again, super encouraged. Thank you for all of you that we surpassed. We were hoping for $48,000. And 53 came, or just over 53 came in. And thank you so much for your generosity and in the midst of this. And we look forward to what God has in store for us as we continue to just continue to walk forward and helping people discover and follow Jesus. This series, over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at Psalm 139. And I'll give you a little background. Maybe, I don't know if it's too much information. We meet together as I don't necessarily always like to do things on my own. Did you catch that? And so I like it when there's a team of people that are around. And so I've had this team of people that get together with myself, and we map out our preaching series for a few months ahead, and then another few months ahead. And so we were dreaming about this time for me to kind of come up with a 4 or 5 week party series on who are we as a church? What does it look like? Who are we? And then I realized over the course of a few weeks and thinking about that, I think we're actually still becoming who we are. And I realized that I hadn't had enough conversations with all of you and hearing different people. And it would have been a single download from me to you, although that's what you get most Sundays. But I felt it was pretty presumptuous to be able to say that. So I sent a note and an email out to staff and leadership and this preaching team and said, what about Psalm 139? What if we were to live in this? And got a resounding affirmation for that. So in the next 5 weeks, we're going to be going through one psalm, Psalm 139. And I think it's a tremendous psalm, especially for starting the new year. And we're looking forward to what is in store for us. In that way, bit of a caveat in this. I've been waiting to preach this here at Coast Hills. You're going, well, what do you mean? Well, sometimes I have the opportunity to speak in different areas, and so I have done this with Canadian Mennonite University for a few years. When I go and speak to them, I usually walk through and live in this psalm, as well as a young adults retreat that providentially met Carly and Ajay. There, Ajay, and better, and he was leading worship there, and he said to me after that retreat, he kind of said, hey, you know, if you know any half-time, part-time jobs, let me know, and I was like, yeah, so we were just praying about that in early January, that God would lead us the right worship leader for our church, And so after you guys have been praying in January, we have this thing in February, and I hear him say that, and I saw the work that he did. I was like, yes, maybe. And so I mentioned it to him. I said, check it out. And this began the journey in this way. So that being said, Psalm 139, there's a few of you that were at the retreat that maybe have heard some of this, but I've tweaked it for us right here for our congregation. And it's not very often that you get to do this kind of thing. And I love, this is a scripture that has shaped my life very profoundly. And so we want to get to it. I'm going to read, if we have it, I'm going to read the whole psalm together to start. And then we're going to get into, let's pray actually as before I read it. Jesus, thank you for revealing yourself to us through your people, through your inspired word, through inklings in our spirit. I pray that we would, like that song says that we sang, may we become more aware of your presence. And may we understand your posture towards us. And may that shape our posture towards you. That we would be a people that would run to you. And that we would turn to you. Pray that you'd speak through us. Speak to us through your word over the next 5 weeks. Pray this in your name. Amen. So let's read this. O Lord, you have examined my heart. And you know everything about me. You know when I sit or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You know before me, you go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship, marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I cannot even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Tricky part. O God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred. For your enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. God's word. This is a great psalm, and as I've lived in it for a few years, and actually I've taught it a couple times, there was times where I only did four parts. The four parts that I taught was usually God knows us. That's the these are verses 1 to 6. God's with us, 7 to 12. God has made us, 13 to 18. I skip out 19 to 21. And then I would say, then we go to 22, and then I go into God leads us. God spoke to me very profoundly last year in saying, you can't skip that part. There's a reason why this is written in there. And would you have the confidence and the courage to unpack that? But that's week 4. But I won't get into it here. But it's called, I've called it God Hears Us. And I usually say in the midst of our, and so we're looking forward to what God would speak in and through us. I want to encourage us over the next 5 weeks to be living in Psalm 139. Maybe some of you might have memorized parts of this. You might not have memorized 19 to 23, 22. But I want to encourage you. Some of you might want to memorize that part before I unpack it in week 4. I want to encourage us. If you're, some of us, I don't know if you're like me, a lot of times I'll do a lot of study of the Bible. And sometimes for years, in different ways, I've scrambled for what does my devotional life look like then? So I'm sometimes paid to read the Bible and to study and to come up and dream about what God would want to say to us. And sometimes I've floundered in different ways. So I've had different books that would lead me in different ways. I've gone from the Daily Bread, which is just a great, there's a bunch of the Daily Breads on the table for you to grab if you're looking at a daily reading. Some of you have a read the Bible through a year. I use a lectionary leading now, which is really good. And there's other times where I've just, someone like myself has said to me up front, a group of people, and said, why don't you just live in this psalm? Read it every day. Read a part of it every day. Pray it every day. And so if you're looking for, just live in Psalm 139. Take some time to read it, because we're going to be discussing it and looking at it every week. So it'd be beneficial. You can actually catch me in the corner and pin me against the wall and say, I don't agree with you there. Or what are you saying about that? It's happened before, right? It's happened. I love that when that happens. Because then we have conversation about what is happening in the scripture. It's not just a download from one person to everyone else. But I hope that we can learn something. So, those of you, can we live in it? Maybe for a little bit? Can we at least try to read it once a week? Maybe? That'd be great. That'd be really helpful for all of us. So, God knows us. God's with us. God made us. God hears us. God leads us. Today we're looking at God knows us. In the midst of this, all the while that we unpack this scripture and these concepts, these truths, we're always going to be looking through the lens of Jesus. At Coast Hills, we believe that if you want to understand who God is, you look to the person of Jesus. And this isn't just something that came out of our heads. This isn't something that we just kind of, oh yeah, well, we just want to learn. We're going to do this because it's going to maybe help us understand the Old Testament way more. No, it's because this is what the early church did. And this is what Scripture says as well. In Colossians, this is the English Standard Version, 19 to 20, it says, for in him, Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So this is the fullness of Scripture. Jesus is the fullness. And so we interpret the tricky parts, actually, through the lens of Jesus as best we can. Hebrews 1:3, it's not on your screen, but Hebrews 1:3 says, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. And then it goes on to talk about what does that look like? It looks like the cross of Jesus. It looks like the death and resurrection. And so this psalm here was written by David and expresses David's thoughts, his desires, his emotions, as well as some truths. Truth, the truth. And they all need to go through this filter, the person of Jesus. Jesus fulfills and actually, if we understand, he actually reinterprets some of the texts, tricky texts, in the Old Testament. One expression of that, we don't have time to get in here, but at some point we're gonna talk about that, where in the Old Testament it talks about caring for your brother, and then it talks about loving your neighbor, and then it talks about later on, there's this, Jesus is speaking to a few, it talks about what do you do with your enemies? And Jesus actually says, you have heard it said, hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies. Well, it's actually not something that was written in the Old Testament to hate your enemies, but it was something that the Essenes were actually grappling with. And it's written in the Dead Sea Scrolls. That in order for them to understand how to love, how to be Jesus followers in the midst of these people that they didn't want to hang out with, they hated them from a distance. I hate you. God's going to come and get your wrath on you, and I'm going to leave me in the hills, and let me be alone. I'm not going to be in the midst of all the people because I'm going to hate you by thinking of what you're going. I'm hating you like God hates you, and He's going to deal with you someday. Well, Jesus reinterprets that, and He says, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute. And then you're like, whoa. So we won't get to that. That'll happen when we go through Mark in the February, March, April, May, June, July, August. I'm not sure how long it'll take us to go through Mark. But after this series, we're going to go through Mark. So we need to understand that. Jesus caught so many times where the Pharisees were saying, hey, what are you doing? It's the Sabbath. You're not supposed to be working the Sabbath. Jesus says, I know, but I'm called to love. And so he actually is doing things that should get him stoned or get him in trouble because he's going opposed to the law. So there's my little rabbit trail. Jesus reinterprets and we understand the Old Testament in the midst of this. So let's look specifically at verse 1 to 6. O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. So these words were adapted into the Hebrew Scriptures, incorporated into worship of Israel, and into the biblical canon. So the Israelites would have memorized them. They would have sang them. It would have been part of their singing, their worship. And they would have even prayed these words. So the question is, are these words for us? I want to say yes. And we can grapple with these words, with this poem, as it relates to who we are and who God is. We must not understand and think that everything in the Bible is prescriptive. That meaning that if we did do that, some of you might be stoning people tomorrow. Some of you might be cutting giants' heads off. And some of you might be walking around naked for 3 years. Find out, if you're not sure about that, check out the reference. It's one of your favorite prophets. So we believe this to be an inspired word of God that will cut into the hearts of us as a people. And it points us to who God is and who we are as humanity and also personally. And we understand it in the bigger net meta-narrative of the Scripture. And that we're going to see how we unpack some of that tricky stuff. But today, we stay here. Have you ever felt like someone's watching you? You ever had that feeling? Someone's like watching you? Oh, I'm glad that you haven't. But, can I tell you this? I don't know if you know this, because I watch CBC and their truth. But CBC, you get a smartphone. Anyone see this? You get a smartphone and you download certain apps. And the app company can actually go into your phone when you don't even know it. They can take pictures with your phone. They can go in and find out where you are. This is just on these different apps. And sometimes we see it and we just go, yeah, accept. I want to play Candy Crush, so who cares? Blah, blah. Right? So what CBC did, they came up with a software company and they said, hey, can you develop an app for us to figure out? And so people came and they downloaded their app without even looking. They said, yes. A week later, they said, we're just doing an experiment. They said, great, but in a week later, can we interview you again? They said, sure. So they got them back on an interview a week later. And they were, yes, they were able to take pictures with their phone. It's a little scary, right? Now, I'm not trying to scare you. But that can seem a little creepy. So first of all, maybe check out what apps you have and what kind of the privacy things. They can take your information and sell it to people that think they're going to buy it. They want you to buy something. Some of us, I remember sometimes there's someone watching me. What does it look like? Here, when I read this psalm, the beginning of the psalm, if I'm really honest, it seems like God's a little creepy, right? If I read it just from an honest perspective and I'm going, he sees when I get up, when I rise, he goes before me, he's behind me, he's above me, he's below me, he's around me, God's everywhere, he knows everything. Oh my goodness, I'm going to die. And this is a term, it's a theological term called omniscient. God knows everything. Do you know that? God knows absolutely everything. Everything. I've said this before, and I've sang this song before, about a year ago. And I want you to understand, I'm going to do it again. Because it was just ingrained in me when I was a kid. Had anyone ever heard this song? Be careful, little hands, what you touch. Be careful, little hands, what you touch. Be careful, little hands, what you touch. The Father up above is looking down with love. Be careful, little hands, what you touch. Now, if he's looking out for love, why do I have to be careful? Okay, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. The Father up above is looking down with love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little feet, where you walk. Be careful, little feet, where you walk. Oh, no. Be careful, little feet. But the Father up above is looking down with love. Love? Be careful, little feet, where you walk. Be careful, little mind, what you think. It goes on, right? Anyone ever heard that song? Creepy. I don't know if they're trying to creep us out, but later on when I was a teenager, I'm just saying, that song's going through my head. I'm just telling you, what? And I was overcome with the fact that God knows everything. Oh. And I had to deal with something that I thought I was the worst, horrible person because I've committed this thing. And that song kept playing in my head. And when, if God knows this, oh my goodness, then, because I was thinking in my head that, maybe not all of you, but some of you, thinking, if I do the right things, if I go the right places, if I see the right things, if I think about the right things, if I say the right words, then God's posture towards me is going to be one of responsive love. If I do the wrong things, look at the wrong things, think the wrong things, say the wrong things, I wonder if a lot of us might think, whether we believe it or not, but it's ingrained in us that God's posture is one towards us of he's going to get you. And I tell you, sometimes it works, the tactic works when I'm driving the car and the kids are fighting in the back. And it's like going crazy in my mind. I'm just like, my anxiety's getting high. And I'm like, Maya, Elliot. I turn the mirror. Instead of up, I turn it right down. I'm like, I'm watching you. Right? And then all of a sudden, they stop. Right? Stop doing it. And then I'm like, oh, this is good. And then we're driving, and I turn around, I'm like, I did this a couple times, a little bit too much. And Miles like, stop it, Daddy, stop it. I'm like, I'm watching you. She goes, stop it. I was like, why is she mad at me for wanting that? I know I can see her, because in her mind, and what I was wanting to do is to find out all the bad things that she was doing at the time so that her behavior could be changed. So that I might have a peaceful drive. I wonder here with the author of Psalm 139 sees it so differently than this. For some reason, David, who we believe it's David that wrote this, it's a very good thing that God is all-knowing. It's a very good thing that God might search his heart. That God would know everything, even the words that he was going to say, yeesh. Is that it's not because of David's actions and all of his words and his actions were perfect or God-honoring, because we know that David actually was a liar, an adulterer, and a murderer, to say the least. And yet here God was saying to him, he's speaking this language, he's saying, God, how wonderful it is that you know everything. And so there is this sense of release and understanding that this all-knowing God actually fully loves me, even though he fully knows me. A couple months ago, I said that statement. You are fully loved as you're fully known. Do you know that? Fully loved is fully known. And so David here is a man after God's own heart, the scripture tells us. He was willing to have a contrite heart, a soft heart, one ready and able and willing to change because he knew that he was fully loved as he was fully known. And so we want to look at a few instances that we're just going to allude to because of time. But I want us to know this. You are fully loved as you're fully known. God doesn't change that. Fully loved as you're fully known. The Samaritan woman at the well. This is a couple months ago, I think I unpacked that. I won't spend a lot of time, but it was like Jesus is playing Jedi mind tricks with her, right? And she's at the well, he's at the well, he's not supposed to be there. She's there because she doesn't want to talk to him, because the whole society, they know who she is, that she's this woman that has lived a really colorful life. And Jesus says, how many husbands do you have? She says, I think it's 4. And he says, it's not really right. You have 4, but the one you're living with isn't your husband. So it's kind of like 5. And what is Jesus' posture towards her? It's one of love. No condemnation towards her. Even though he fully knows and understands who she is. And he is moving in a relationship in that dialogue with her to have her understand that she is fully loved even though she's fully known. And what he knows about her is all the dark little secrets. I want us to know this. Is this word for us? Yes. Do you have dark little secrets? Yes, you do. I'll tell you that. We all do. But you are fully loved even as you're fully known. And so when we come to confess a word, that just means I'm going to agree with. So when we confess to God what we've done, we're in agreement, and God says, yep, yes, yes. And so he wants us to get out of that and to change our hearts, but he starts with the heart before he starts with the behavior. And I guess the behavior and the heart kind of is all mixed in one. But God is wanting us to understand that you're fully known, fully loved as you're fully known. Zacchaeus the tax collector. Everyone knew everything about him. And he was seeking Jesus. And Jesus said, okay, you scoundrel. You who are taking advantage of the poor. You who's creating a system that is putting all kinds of people at risk. You, I want to have a meal with you. What? This is our Jesus. This is the Jesus that we want to discover and follow. Zacchaeus, fully loved, even now as he was fully known. The parable of the lost son. Do I have to say anything there? The Father knows. He sees. He's gone out. Does all this. And we know that the Father knows because somehow the Son knows. He says, what? He went and spent all the money on fast women and drugs and alcohol. You know, all that. And you do this? And the Father says, yep. Because my love for him has not changed. Because he's fully loved. Even as he's fully known. And it's the love of the Father that is so incredibly amazing that changes the heart. Judas, the betrayer. John 13. This is a really interesting one, especially around the whole Lord's table here. John 13, it says that now Jesus is going to show them the full extent of his love. So what does Jesus do? He takes off his outer garment. He grabs a towel and a basin. And he goes around and he washes all of the disciples' feet. And it's very clear there in the early parts of John 13 where it says, and Jesus, knowing that Judas, it said that Satan entered him, knowing that Judas was going to betray him, still showed him the full extent of his love. And still breaks bread and offers his broken body and his shed blood to the betrayer. The one who is going to kiss him, betray him with a kiss. What? That doesn't fit in my paradigm. The thief on the cross. This guy can't do anything. He's just about to die. He's got nothing to offer God except faith. A faith so small that he would say, yeah, I've heard some good things about you, Jesus. You are the King of Kings. Today you will be with me in paradise. Because I will continue to love you. And you are fully loved even as you're fully known. I don't know how I just want to get that we have to know this. We have to get this in our heads. I have to get this in our heads. And it will change everything. We are fully loved as we are fully known. That knowledge would make some run away and hide. If we unpack it a bit earlier, that God knows everything about you. This is why Adam and Eve ran and hid. Because, but David says it so differently. And in the verses to come, a little teaser for next week, we talk a little bit about God's presence everywhere. Omnipresence. And that doesn't scare David. He actually invites that, and that's an amazing thing to understand. So would you know that you, like the woman at the well, like Zacchaeus the tax collector, like the lost son, like the betrayer himself, and maybe even the thief in the cross, you're fully loved, even though you're fully known. That stuff, God wants to deal with it, but he first deals with it by breaking his body for you and shedding his blood on your behalf. If we can get that, if I can get that, that will transform the way I look at everyone else. If I understand the way God looks at me and views me, and I can identify myself with these characters that are in the Bible, and I say, yes, God, I want to understand. Yes, search me and know my heart, because I know my heart. And there's some slippery, slimy, dark things. And yet we have a God that says, I love you this much. You're fully known, even as you're fully You're fully loved, even as you're fully known. And Jesus says, I've come to give life. And I give it by giving my life to you. Would we be a people that would first of all receive that love and that understanding that we're fully loved even as we're fully known? And today we can do that during communion. I want to encourage us to be thinking about as we come forward and as we take the bread and we dip it into the cup and as we receive it, maybe you say a short prayer. Maybe your short prayer is this. Jesus, thank you that you fully love me even though you fully know me. And take the bread and the wine. And at some point, I really believe that God is wanting to move you. Maybe he already has moved you this way. When I look around, I see these amazing people in our midst. He is going to move you and wants to move you from not only receiving it, but for being his church, his hands and feet, that will actually administer this kind of love to the people around you. This kind of self-sacrificing love that we are signposts of the kingdom of what God is doing in our lives. That we can actually love people even though we might not fully know them. Because we won't. How could we do that? We'd be encouraged to do that. I'm going to pray and then the band's going to come up. And Peter, you have a few people going to lead this. Great. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for loving us. Even as we're fully, as you fully know us, I pray we could live in the Psalm 139 this week. Let us grapple with these concepts and these questions. I pray also that these words would shoot into our hearts and encourage us, not only for who we are and what you're doing in our lives, not only for the fact that we want to come back to a knowledge of who you are in our lives, but we want you to allow your love to flow out of us and into our neighborhoods, into our families. And I'm even thinking right now of Paul Wortman. I pray a blessing on him as he goes and teaches the nations and disciples people. We pray that this kind of love would exude through him in his teaching. And we ask that the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, would do incredible things through him this time as you continue to work through him and other leaders of Global Disciples. That Jesus, you would be high and lifted up. People would see and understand you and your great love that you have for us. We pray this in your name. Amen.